Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
It's September 1st. I'm John C. Dvorak.
And I'm Andrew Horowitz.
It's going to be a bonus month. We're going to have five shows.
Is this like where we go around a pole and we walk around it with a long colored thing and make around the pole, or is that a different month?
I think you're May, isn't that May Day?
May Day, yeah, the Maypole. We got the Mayflies and the Maypole. What's September famous for?
Going back to school.
Labor Day. Yeah, well, good luck on that. I don't think so. Well, we had a tremendous, huge week and month for the markets. It was the best market for the S&P, the Dow Jones, since 1984. So, seriously, it was way back that
we had
that.
Yeah, that's back there. 84 was a big one.
Yeah. And one of the reasons is the Fed pulled off the safety protocols, which we'll talk a little bit about what happens there. The presidential election odds, I don't know if you've been noticing, they're kind of flip-flopping around. I guess depending on what day it is, who's speaking, who's wearing a mask, who's stuttering, can't find the words, who, you know, if someone had a stroke or not. Well, I don't know, it just goes back and forth. But right now it's, I think it's edging, this is polls, towards Biden ever so slightly. And then just after the RNC, it was Trump a little bit and back and forth. And I got a big fish story for you.
Ooh, a fish story.
I got a big fish story.
Did you catch another whopper? I didn't see a photo. Where's the photo?
You're going to see one in a minute. This is quite the story. I don't know how much you want me to go into it, but it was quite an epic adventure. I will tell you that. Quick market update. Nothing stopping new highs on the NASDAQ, up 35, 36% for the year. Dow Jones Industrial Average finally made it positive for the year. Bond yields initially moved lower after Powell's speech, but now they're on a trajectory higher, so yields are starting to heat up a little bit. And the U.S. dollar is continuing to tap the lows of recent on the recent chart over the last, I would say, this year. And I guess we're awaiting more economic updates, which we have this week coming up, two or three major ones. Tomorrow's the ADP payrolls in the morning. And on Friday is going to be the official unemployment numbers. And they're talking about like a 9.9% unemployment rate, which I don't – with the recent initial claims – over a million one, I'm finding it hard-pressed to understand how we're going to have another drop.
That makes no sense, although they're talking about what's going on in California, which is that it's turned into a black market state.
What does that mean?
That means people are gone back to work. They're doing what they used to do, but now they're doing it illegally.
You mean like under the table?
Yeah, and a lot of under the table stuff. I think we're going to lose a lot of revenues. Yeah. A lot of state revenues. Nancy Pelosi was just caught, I think today or yesterday, last night, without a mask going into a closed hairdressing salon. Uh-oh. And then getting her hair done illegally. Mm. And apparently the security cam caught her.
Hmm. Whoops.
That kind of thing is what's going on.
Well, we know they speak with a forked tongue, all the politicians. There's no question about that, right?
Yeah, well, she's got a lot of explaining to do.
Yeah, a lot of explaining to do. She's a scary person, to say the least. All right, you want to hear about my fish story?
Yes, let's hear about the fish.
All right, so we're out there, and we are about 20 miles offshore, and we're in about 1,700 feet of water. First thing that happens, 6 a.m., we get out. I got the Bloody Marys ready. We're out there. 9 o'clock in the morning. We're fishing, we're doing our thing in this very deep sea situation. Everybody says, well, it's three of us. We're hungry. So we brought the grill. I cooked up the bratwurst and the Italian sausages on the grill in the middle of nowhere where you couldn't even see land. It was awesome. And then all of a sudden, we're fishing and we got like a 15-pound weight down there. We got these lights that are deep water lights and we got this piece of bait. And we see something on the rod, a very, very thick rod with an electric reel on it. And we kind of say, all right, let's pull it up and see, just to see, because this usually get a very small, even though there's a big fish that we're fishing for, you get a small little movement. Next thing we know, the rod is bent in half. 4 hours later, we're still working this fish. We bring it up to the top, and there's a picture there. And I didn't tell you what kind of fish it was on purpose because I thought maybe you could guess what this is. We pull it up to
Where's the picture?
It says big fish, giant thing. It says big fish.
Oh, is it something you sent me on Skype?
No, it's right in the show notes.
I didn't go. I have to scroll down.
Yeah, scroll down a little bit.
Oh, big fish. I see this. Yeah. I have to click on something. Looks like a giant shark, a great white.
Yeah, it's actually a swordfish, which is the species that we were fishing for. Great meat, great fight.
I never liked swordfish as something to eat.
Oh, you have to eat it fresh. It's unbelievable.
I've had swordfish fresh.
Iodine.
It's too dense.
Yeah. It has also a very deep water fish kind of thing going on. But we bring it up the first time I look at it and I say, seriously, like, oh my God. And we haven't caught a swordfish on the boat yet. And we look at this thing and I'm like, that is, I don't know if you can really get the dimensions from the picture. It is enormous. Enormous. All the way to the front of that picture, you see there's a little white past his dorsal fin.
Yeah.
That's still protruding his nose out there, the sword. So
how big was it?
Well, we were estimating about 300 pounds.
Wow.
Yeah, no, it's big. It broke my reel. The reel is done. The reel was smoking. Okay. We're out there. This is where we caught this. We got him up there about the 2 hour mark. Then he decided, you know what? The hell with this. I'm going down again. And there's just so much you can do. It's just screaming off the reel. We had him up a little bit more. He's hanging around on 200 feet. Anyway, 4 hours later, we decide, you know what? It's getting kind of late here. And then I'm like, well, if we get this fish on the boat, or how are we going to get this fish on the boat? We got multiple gaffs, but the sword itself is very dangerous. It could slice your leg right open. So we're kind of like, you know, working this whole theory, what we're going to do and all that. Into the fourth hour, it's like 3 o'clock in the afternoon, caught this thing at 11 down in Hollywood, took us about 25 miles north working this fish. And we tighten up the drag, we pull them, and the rod is just bent in half. And we're trying to pull the line and reel and pull the line and reel. The electric reel is like just making all sorts of crazy noises. And then he finally pulls the hook out of its mouth. And I got to tell you, it was so depressing. It was so depressing. We didn't get the fish in the boat.
Well, can I ask a question? Because you can't even imagine catching something like this.
Yeah.
Which is apparently a dream come true for a lot of fishermen.
Yeah.
If they don't get away.
Right.
What if you got him close enough? Could you shoot him?
Well, one tool that we don't have, which we're about to get this weekend, is a harpoon. You're supposed to harpoon them.
Okay.
So, which is another technique, which I have to figure out how to, you know, throw a harpoon at this fish and land it in there. There's two types of harpoon, one that just sticks in there and one that leaves the tip, and then it's attached to a line, and you kind of have that line and your other line. You could pull them in. But he wasn't even really that close. That looks like it's close. That was probably 20 feet away. There's no way I'm harpooning 20 feet away. Way too far. We had him once under the boat also that was kind of like about 30 feet down. But I got to tell you, it was an epic, epic adventure. I mean, we're spraying. One guy's working the reel, and he's just dying after 3 hours or so. So we're feeding him beers. I got this fresh water on the boat, and I'm spraying him down. I'm spraying the reel down. Crazy, crazy action. Crazy. It was like pure adrenaline and excitement for 4 hours, okay? And then this big, like, this extreme depression that started after that.
Well, it's a good fish story.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, let me tell you what's going on in the markets otherwise. So this is the big thing that's going on right now, the Fed. So Jay Powell, the Fed chair, in his usual annual, what the Fed chairs do, they make a presentation at the Jackson Hole, Wyoming Economic Confab. This year, it was virtual. And there was some kind of scuttlebutt about what he was going to do. What he talked about was a new way that they're going to look at inflation. And what they're going to do is they're going to start looking at inflation averaging. Something that when I had, remember I had that luncheon with Bernanke a year ago?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, he talked to us about that. He said, listen, you know, something the Fed's looking at is this whole idea of inflation averaging. And what that means is, if we've had low inflation for a period of time, let's call it 2 years, and let's say it's at 1.5% on average over those two-year period. And now what we could do is we can use the next couple of years instead of what the real inflation rate is. We can average it over the last couple of years so that if inflation picks up, we could still run the economy hot. So what he has set the stage up for right now is the idea that we are going to have a significant rise in inflation. That's the only reason why he's doing this. Because if we had this particular inflation rate that hikes up without a commentary ahead of it, people would think that he's going to raise rates, right? And the market's not going to like that. And you can't destroy the market, of course, because he wants to have low rates for a very, 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 very long time. So he's setting the market up and he's setting investors up with the idea that even if inflation starts popping, they're not going to do anything about it. And he laid on.
This is a fascinating analysis.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. I mean, he's trying to say that it's better to use this because we have to offset and this and that. But it's the only reason I could think of that they're going to do this is because there is inflation coming. And that's why we've seen gold go up as it is. And markets start moving higher because he confirmed and recommitted and reconfirmed that they're not going to raise rates. And I don't even know how we're going to get out of it at this point, ever. Seriously. In my lifetime, your lifetime.
Well, things change. What does this mean for an investor?
So for an investor, you have to look at the fact that, you know, bond yields are going to stay depressed for a very long time. So that's the savers, the people that are looking at using their portfolio as a pure income stream. And you have to worry that, you know, interest rates, when they start rolling, are going to be at lower rates and you're going to have a lower income. For equity investors, it's a very positive environment where there's a lot of liquidity, very low rates. The Fed is backing you essentially forever, and there's nothing to worry about them coming in trying to slow the economy, no matter how much the economy really moves higher. And because we're starting off with this discussion at a 10% unemployment rate, it's going to take a very long time to get us back down to, let's say, sub 5, even if there is a vaccine, because a lot of jobs have been destroyed from this whole thing, right? We have this big pull forward of technology and, you know, the whole idea of, you know, well, we don't want this to happen to us again. So what do we do? Well, if there's lockdowns, if we don't have employees anyway, or less employees, and we use all sorts of mechanisms and technology to fulfill those job roles. So it's good for investors, generally speaking, in the short term. In the long term, it's destructive to an economy. Because you let it ramp up too much, you create bubbles, and you create problems with the mechanism of capitalism and how the markets work. You're going to get over-leveraged. So you're setting yourself up long-term to have a big problem. The other thing is that, yeah, and somebody mentioned this actually, I think, yeah. One of the things is you inflate your way also out of your bond holdings. So one of the ways you can do that is all this debt that you have outstanding, what you do is you have all this inflation because, and then what it does is it kind of naturally will, you know, change the value of, or it kind of helps extinguish the bond exposure, especially if you have low rates. So, I mean, there's a lot of things. That's kind of secondary. But the point is here that it's a very strange circumstance. And he also said that, you know, what they're trying to do is instead of targeting the employment of, let's call it white-collar workers, they're going to try to get the lower-income workers back to work. That's their target. And I don't know how they're going to do that with interest rates and quantitative easing. That makes no sense at all to me. But that's their goal. Two different goals that they have right now.
I think they're off the rails.
Yeah, totally off the rails. So this is, like, well, I said,
it's actually all good for real estate.
It's good for real estate. Low interest rates. I mean, right now, there's
low interest rates and inflation. Yeah,
right. Exactly.
It's dynamite.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But what else is it good for?
It's good for commodities, hard assets, any hard asset. It's good for
hence gold.
Yep. It's good. And technically, if it's, this is kind of interesting because if it was without this discussion, if it was an inflation, if we have inflation, usually the dollar would start moving higher. And that would be negative for assets that are priced outside of the dollar. So emerging market debt, foreign debt, foreign equities. You know, the problem is, though, that you have now a situation where the dollar continues to sink. And at the same time, that is actually good for the emerging markets because their currencies are coming up in value. Just look at the yuan, the Chinese yuan.
Yuan, the renminbi.
Yeah, it's coming up pretty strong here. And the dollar keeps on sinking because these guys aren't going to stop with their quantitative easing and bond buying and being, you know, all over the markets. And not to mention the, I don't know, $500 billion or trillion dollars of new stimulus that's coming on. So, you know, the thing is that...
first of all, the dollar is sinking, but not in relationship to the yen.
Yes, it is. Has been.
What? Well, it's the 106. Is anything over 100, as far as I'm concerned, is sketchy. And then now Buffett wants to invest in Japan.
Right. He's investing in five different investment houses, which is kind of interesting that he's doing that because he's getting back into financials after he just got out of U.S. financials. He just sold his Wells Fargo, part of it. He sold all of his Goldman Sachs, bought some Bank of America, but bought gold. He bought a big chunk of gold, Barrick Gold. What's Barrick? I think it was Barrick. And so now here we are with, you know, the situation. There's a lot of opposing forces here. And thanks for the chat room. This is a good point. Real estate's a problem because you have commercial real estate on one side.
Oh, no, that's doomed.
That's a disaster.
Oh, yeah, with all this Zoom and all the rest of it?
Yep. But then you also have the rental markets where there's an eviction moratorium to the end of the year now. This was an executive order that was put in today that I guess the whole country. I don't even know. Maybe it's even businesses. I'll stop paying rent, I guess. But the whole country is prohibited from evicting people. I don't know what all the fine print is in the executive order, but if you think about that for a second, all these people that are renting, I don't know if I'm renting, I'm like, I'm not paying. If they can't evict me, what the hell? What are they going to do, come after me? You know, there's nothing on the back end of this, and it's through the end of this year.
Yeah.
And then what happens to the landlords? What about the landlords? Landlords still have to pay the cost of whether it's the taxes, whether it's the upkeep, if they have a mortgage on the property, why are we allowing renters not to pay, but the landlords are going to have to pay? How does that work?
It sounds like a recipe for disaster.
I mean, it's great because I guess there are more renters than there are owners, maybe. So you're trying to buy votes. I don't know. It's very strange. I can't make heads or tails out of their plans, to be honest with you. You tariff the hell out of stuff, but you give it to the farmers. You allow for people not to pay the rent and even encourage them not to pay the rent with the knowledge that they're not going to be evicted. But you screw the owners of the properties, which in turn screws the banks. The whole thing is upside down.
Yeah, yeah, it's terrible.
I mean, I totally, first of all, I think we both genuinely feel for anybody who's out of work, can't pay their rent and all that. I don't think there's any question there, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, there's no question there. But there's got to be a better way than this. I mean, there's got to be. Yeah. Creating problems. It's a moral hazard, I think. All right, Friday we have the employment report coming out. We have some concern that the rate may back up a bit, although the official consensus is at 9.9%. And I mentioned earlier that initial claims have been rising over the last couple of weeks. But worse numbers could be met with limited concern because the Fed will be backing and not moving off a low rate. And then you have a better number will confirm to a lot of people that, well, things are getting better. And the Fed is still not moving. And we saw today the manufacturing number hit, what did the ISM hit today? 56? I think it was 56. A couple of points better than expected. So manufacturing is picking up, even though there is a shortage of labor in that area, and the supply chains are kind of screwed up. But there's a bit of backlog of demand, so that's kind of helping. Splits, kind of quick update on the Apple and the Tesla split. Still rocking higher. Tesla had a little bit of a down day today because they did a secondary offering of $5 billion. But Apple was up another 3.5% or so today. I mean, Tesla's up 80% since they announced the split.
Unbelievable.
You mentioned Zoom earlier. Zoom Video smashes earnings estimates. So we had a massive growth of revenue, raised its annual revenue forecast by more than 30%. Stock was up 40% on the day. Now it's worth more than IBM, which they are. I mean, if you were to...
There's a joke, there's a punchline to that, but...
Yeah, right. Who isn't? Why it should be. Tell me something. If you were to think about the poster child for a company that was perfectly set for the coronavirus and for lockdowns, I mean, I guess it would be Zoom, right?
You know what the price earnings is right now for Zoom?
It's ridiculous.
Just take a guess.
P.E. ratio's got to be what, 85 or 90?
2,528.
Yeah, that's a little much.
The forward P.E. is 291.
That's a little hot.
What do you think about the PEG? 65.
and by the way, a PEG ratio...
I've never heard of numbers like this.
A PEG ratio of one, of over one is usually... I'll go two. I'll say two. A PEG ratio of over two is kind of overvalued and you're paying too much for the stock.
You think? I'm shorting this for the game today.
You should. I mean, I think that's really smart because, first of all, it's up 40%. Second of all, I think there's an assumption they're going to continue growing this kind of rate over time. And I'm also wondering something else.
It makes no sense.
But I'm wondering something because I've been using Zoom for well before all this. I just got an email that said that this is a couple of days ago, and it always rings a bell in my head when I see these kind of emails before earnings. And the email said, take, I don't know what the number was, 20% off if you want to buy an annual subscription rather than paying month to month. So.
Well, that's not unusual.
Yeah, but I'm just saying that one of the things that could be happening is they're recognizing the annualized rate now. We've seen this before in companies where they have a lot of hot revenue and things are going and they kind of do the revenue recognition early. And then they found out that they did that. Now, I'm not saying that's what's happening, but you never know. And the other thing is, I think there is a projection that we have this linear, or not even linear, I'll say geometric move on earnings that is going to continue like it's been doing. Now, I've been hearing a lot of people, I don't know if you've been hearing this, but I've been hearing a lot of people talk about how they're sick of the Zoom meetings. They can't take it. There's more Zoom meetings than they've ever had meetings before. They're looking forward to getting back to, you know, face-to-face when they can, and they're trying to back off all these Zoom meetings. Have you heard this?
I have not heard this, but you have to realize you're talking to someone who's never been in a Zoom meeting.
Oh.
I have no desire to get involved with any of these Zoom meetings. They're stupid.
Well, so we're on Skype right now. There's really no difference it's a telephone call, but in the Zoom meetings, people feel that they have to put their video camera on. Like, if I had a conference call in the past, there'd be people on a phone and we'd talk. Now everybody has this thing that you have to have not only your video on, and you have to have this weird background on. The whole thing is just ridiculous. It's too much. You got to be dressed up, and you have to have that, you know, back to our clothing line, waist up. You know, you have to have something on from the waist up that looks good.
Yeah, it'd be nice if you had a background that was attractive.
Yeah, but you could put yourself in a beach because it has a green screen functionality to it.
I think green screen is the way to go with this.
Yeah, that's what they have. DocuSign was up 17%. I think it was actually more like 20%. On the back of the news, Slack was up on this. And it was kind of all the make it easier and electronic stocks were up. What's also interesting is what I find the most interesting about Zoom is Zoom all of a sudden became very popular. Before that, we had WebEx, we had GoToMeeting, we had a LogMeIn. Yeah, LogMeIn. I think it was LogMeIn. It was JoinMe. There was all these different ones out there. There was some things that were embedded in my RingCentral system. All of a sudden, Zoom comes on. Everybody's like, okay, we'll use that. Not the best interface to start with compared to all the others. ON24 is far superior. Has some technical glitches, in my opinion, where you can't upload a PowerPoint. You have to share your screen. If you upload a PowerPoint, we can flip right through it if it had it embedded in the system. But it is, I guess, it's up a lot. PPP update, the Payroll Protection Program. 10-month, do you use a PPOPer anymore?
I'm sorry, what?
Do you use a PPOPer, a windscreen anymore?
I always use a windscreen.
I don't use one anymore. I have this new mic.
Does it have it built in?
Yeah, it's kind of a built-in thing. It's got this, you know
what? What mic is this?
I got the. What do I have here? The Electro Voice.
Oh yeah, they have a windscreen inside of it.
Yeah. Anyway, I was talking about the PPP. 10-month delay now for forgiveness. A brand new update that came. I saw today from some newsline. There may be some additional provisions in the next stimulus bill that will allow for anyone who got less than $150,000 not to have to file for forgiveness, because the forgiveness portals aren't even up yet.
Yeah.
So, that's why they have to do this.
Yeah, this is out of control.
Yeah. All right. From the Here We Go Again department, we've heard this before. A new study. Women managers, money managers, remain woefully underrepresented in the mutual fund industry, but they're doing a better job picking stocks than their male counterparts, at least for this year. Among some 500 large cap U.S. mutual funds, those with at least 1/3 of managers' position held by women have beaten those with no women by 1 percentage point in 2020. Is data that's compiled.
That's not even statistically invalid, one percentage point.
I totally agree. So this is kind of a little bit different than we've seen in the past 3 years. The thing that they're telling why it is, for whatever reason, women managed funds are benefiting from preferences for technology stocks. And also helping with the gap is Tesla, which is more widely owned by female managers.
Huh.
Here's my problem with this. Once again, we're doing a comparison and a judgment and a ranking based on gender or based on religion or based on nationality or based on whatever. I mean, aren't we sick of this already?
Oh, I've been sick of it for decades.
I mean, I'm not trying to be like a 2020 guy, but seriously, it's ridiculous the constant... The constant hammer to the head about all of this, constantly saying that women are better, men are better. No, you can't say men are better, but women are better, or that, there's underrepresentation by this or that. It's like no longer just simply the best party, the best mind, the best worker, the best manager. It all has to be like, are you a man or woman? Are you white or are you black or brown or whatever? It's ridiculous. Thank you.
No argument for me.
Yeah. We have a European virus update. Several European countries have reported a jump in new coronavirus cases in recent weeks after a drop in cases over June and July. So I was wondering, is this part of the election hoax too, that we're seeing that other countries are having increases? I mean, the whole thing here in the United States is all about that it's all about the election, right? But what about the rest of the world? Their cases, does that count for our election too, or is that something different?
Well, you have to analyze it. There's a lot of elections going on worldwide. I don't know. It's just hard to say. I don't think we're getting the story. I mean, one of the things that if you're going to report on this, you might as well report on the fact that in most of these large countries, Germany, UK, other countries, they're having these protests, quite unlike Black Lives Matter. It's all about the masks and the requirements and the shutdown. And they're protesting. They don't want to wear the masks anymore. We're very compliant, us Americans. And we're okay, whatever you want us to do, we'll wear the mask. But that's how come that's not part of this story? It seems like it should be.
Well, I mean, we're not that compliant. Look at Sturgis.
We're not like protesting the streets about wearing masks like they're doing in Berlin.
Right, right. Which is just, who has time for that? Can you define for
Nobody's
me?
Nobody's got a job. They got nothing else to do.
Who are the people?
And by the way, I should mention this about if you're going to bring up any of this. How come Sweden's never discussed? It's left out of the conversation.
There was a great article last week about it, that they have a higher than average, what was it? They had a higher than average death rate. The overall death rates, the mortality rates were higher. But
yeah,
it seems,
a bit.
But they still got along without the lockdowns.
They had no lockdown.
Right.
So they got the number, the extra few, a little bit higher. And, of course, you don't know how the record keeping's done. But they never had a lockdown. So they don't have the other problems that you're going to have with a lockdown, where people get depressed. They never get a job again. They go homeless. A million things can happen.
I think the whole the incredible mess that this is, and it just brought out the worst of people, it seems, in some regards. And it's just people have – I guess, you know what, from one aspect, the worst thing can be lockdowns due to the fact that it just makes people nuts, right? Forget about that they can't go to work and all that for a second, but it kind of brings out the worst and people go like ballistic. They go weird.
I agree.
I mean, just weird people. Yeah. There was another thing today that in Florida, Quest Diagnostics is now being taken off the list entirely from providing any official testing for coronavirus. It seems that there was a big data dump of information about positive cases or something like that, or of cases, generally speaking, that was like delayed for a while, and they put this giant data dump, and I guess
it jacked up the numbers in Florida overnight.
Right. So DeSantis got all pissed off, rightfully or wrongfully, I don't know if it's true numbers. Supposedly, Quest Diagnostics is saying, you know, all the people that were positive were contacted and they were told they had it. But yet, DeSantis kind of got pissed because, you know, it's making him look bad. So, can't blame him. But
it's the idea.
But now they're out. IPOs. Big IPOs are coming. So, we have a lot of, these SPACs that we saw, but it's a great time. I mean, it's a really great time. If I was a venture capital firm, the time is now, if ever there was a time, to cash out. Bring something to market. We got Airbnb, DoorDash, Snowflake, Asana. I use Asana. It's funny. I didn't.
What is Asana?
Asana is really good. It's a project management tool. So, for example, for let's say for DH Unplugged, right? So we got a couple of guys that are doing the work for, I don't know, update the PHP protocols on the website. So what I do is I put a note underneath that project, which is DH Unplugged, and I say, hey, we need to update the PHP. Do me a favor. Do this, whatever. That other party, the developer, now gets it. He can put notes in it, comes back to me, and I see what's going on in my inbox. Then I can say, okay, yeah, but you didn't do this, or I don't know, whatever. And can you please make sure that you do it over a weekend so we don't have any downtime? They come back and then completed. And we could track all the commentary under that project, underneath that task. And there's also much more refined things that you could do with the big teams, like project deadlines and timing. There's a whole project think board, as well as a project timeline. There's all sorts of things in there. Very cool. It's free, actually. You could use it.
Well, that's a plus. Yeah, a moneymaker.
Well, it's free. I paid for it for years. And I'm like, listen, you only have to pay for the actual users. Like, if you have multiple admins that are creating all this stuff, but you can bring on as many guests as you want. So if I wanted to bring you into my project as a party that's looking at all this stuff and you're assigned it, you're a guest. I don't have to count that as one of the people. So since it's only like three under, I think it's under five, it's free, which is great. But it's a good program. It works nicely. But we got JFrog and Sumo Logic coming out as well. Don't ask me what JFrog is. But a lot of these are cloud-based.
Oh, everything's cloud-based.
Yep. Yep.
We got the biggest kick out of, we went Nor Agenda Social, which is runs through, so I guess runs through Cloudflare, and Cloudflare goes down. Cloudflare goes down, half the internet goes down. And it's cloud-based.
Right. Well, that's the point, right? What else is it? I mean, unless you have a server in your office.
It's the way we used to do it.
Oh, yeah. But now you have servers in your office. You know, the problem is it's so much easier to have them update things all the time, have it in a nice air-conditioned, cooled-down area, you know, very centralized, and it's cheaper.
Yeah, until somebody throws a hand grenade into the place.
Correct. Cutting limits. We have Capital One Financial, one of my least favorite companies. That and not Synovus, the credit card company, Symphony Financial. They do all the credit cards for like all the places that charge exorbitant fees. Like if you get like a Best Buy card, it's through them. But Capital One Financial is cutting borrowing limits on credit cards. So they're reining in their exposure into the U.S. markets, and the support for millions of unemployed people are starting to be cut off.
Yeah, probably a smart move.
Yeah, reports showing that anywhere from a third to two-thirds reduction for some people. And they said Capital One periodically reviews accounts based on a variety of factors, and may make changes to existing credit lines. Duh. But they're obviously trying to protect the tukuses right now. Now, you talked about Japan earlier. Big news in Japan. Shinzo Abe, who is the prime minister of Japan, was the prime minister of Japan.
Yeah, for the longest time,
yep,
too.
Yep. He had a little break in there somehow. It was something weird that happened like 2007 or something. But he held a news conference last Friday, and he addressed the growing concerns about his health and his recent three hospitalizations within a week. He has chronic ulcerative colitis. And
it's unimaginably horrible.
Yep. So especially with all the pressure, it probably just perks it up. So he resigned just like that. So with that, unfortunately, the realization of his three arrows in his quiver, remember that whole thing with Abenomics?
Yep.
Abenomics, didn't live up to its expectations.
Well, he couldn't get anything done.
No, I mean, he tried. He tried to go negative interest rates. He tried to keep inflation up. I mean, he tried to drop the yen.
Tried everything. He just couldn't get it. The fact that he was in for so long is always a surprise. Yeah. I guess nobody else wanted to try anything, so they couldn't get rid of him.
Yeah, who wants to do that? Yep. TikTok. TikTok executive officer Kevin Meyer has left the company less than 3 months after joining the short video app program.
Yeah, he must have seen something hinky was going on, and he bailed.
Yeah, but what's interesting, his excuse was, in recent weeks, as the political environment has sharply changed, I have done significant reflection on what the corporate structure and the structural changes would require and what it means for the global role I signed up for. I think he's a bit of a weenie here. First of all, who leaves a company, even under a tremendous amount of pressure, to either break it up or to have it sold before it's done, where you could possibly either get a major buyout on the deal or retain a major role in the new deal?
Yeah, that's why I say he must have seen that something was hinky and he wasn't going to get anything.
I guess. I don't know. Seems a little bit odd. Now, did you hear the latest? You know, every day we hear another potential suitor for TikTok. So the latest one is Walmart. Seriously, Walmart and Microsoft are teaming up.
Yeah, well, the Chinese have pulled the plug on all this stuff. Nothing's going to happen.
Right. They said they're going to. I don't know why they didn't do this earlier. Were they just playing a game?
No, I think that the Chinese don't make snap decisions when it comes to this kind of political stuff. Mm-hmm. They take a long time of getting to figure out what to do that's the best way to screw the other guy. And so it just took a while. What was the rush?
I don't know. I guess not. Now all of a sudden, I was always thinking, like, why would China allow this to happen? How is it our business that we're going to be forcing a sale? I never understood that.
Well, we're apparently not going to be able to do that. I think this is going to just stay in play until after the election. Trump's not going to kill the service or anything before then because it's too many people get irked.
And did you see that Walmart made a secondary announcement today that their Walmart Plus program, the supposed, you know, the supposed Amazon killer, I guess is what they're saying.
The prime competitor.
Yeah. It's going to be available on September 15th. There's a lot of little bells and whistles. But this is the second time they mentioned it, and the stock went up. It was an all-time high today for Walmart, and it was up 6% on this news again today.
So they think that by just copying Amazon's ideas, this is good.
Yeah. Well,
so they got nothing original to contribute here at all.
I don't think so. It's probably going to come in like $5 less or something than, you know, Amazon.
Yeah, and you're never going to the thing about it, it seems to me, is that people use Amazon a lot. And there's millions and millions of people have signed up for Prime, and then they also get a TV channel, which is actually not bad.
Yeah.
It's not quite Netflix, but it's not bad. And that Walmart doesn't have anything to compete with that.
No, I agree. I mean, and Amazon also makes it, they really conquered the making it easy to shop. I as we've been sitting here, I just got two notifications since we've been talking that Amazon products have shipped that I ordered today.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's constantly Christmas in my office. And they make it really easy to return.
If you're going to compete, you're going to have to come up with something new. You just can't play follow the leader with Amazon. That's just, you're like, you know, it reminds me of Henry's Hamburgers. There used to be a competitor with McDonald's called Henry's, and their idea was to not do the same kind of research or for where you place your hamburger stores. It would look like it was green. I think it was green and red, but it was green, and it looked like a McDonald's place, and it was a 15-cent burger. Same thing. Everything was the same, and they would just see where McDonald's built the McDonald's, and they put one around the corner.
Yeah, there was like a company called Wetson's. Do you remember that?
I never heard of that one, but same thing.
Yeah, Wetson's had an M that looked like the McDonald's M, but they put it upside down.
Yep.
So they did.
This is not the way to do things.
Oh, by the way, Wetson's is no longer, and I think
Henry's. Henry's.
Yeah, of course not. Of course not. I got two more stories on Amazon. One is they're announcing a new product. They just announced it, called the Halo. It's a new fitness band. It doesn't have a face at all. It's just like a band. It's even less than a face than Fitbit. You know, Fitbit has a little face on there. And, you know, you can kind of look at your heart rate and all that. It has none of that. It's just a band. Kind of like a heart rate monitor in a way. But one of the things it does, it does your heart rate. It does, you know, maybe your steps. It has some supposed a new advancement in the step, like what steps count and what steps don't, and exertion issues, and maybe if you're going upstairs versus downstairs. I don't know, all sorts of stuff. It's all based on an app that will be on your iPhone or on your Android. But it also does something else. Now listen to this. It listens to your tone as you speak, and it provides you feedback to tell you what your emotions are, whether you're angry, frustrated, happy.
Hey. I have a wife for that.
That's exactly. And so I told my wife about this. She says, oh, so if I get one, will it listen to your voice and tell me how you're feeling? I'm like, no, I don't think any are available anymore. So, but it is definitely an interesting situation. One more story on Amazon. Their drone service has received federal approval that will allow the company to begin testing commercial deliveries through the drone fleet. Amazon Prime Air, company's special services delivery package in 30 minutes or less, has been approved by the Federal Aviation Administration to test delivering orders using autonomous drones. So
get your 22 rifles out, kids.
How does this work? I mean,
even a pellet gun, I think, would be fun.
I would take a bow and arrow just for the kick. How does this work?
You tell me.
I don't know.
When they first showed this thing like 5-6 years ago, they had an ad. Remember this? And I thought it was a scam. It was bull crap. But they've kept going at it as though they're actually going to implement this. And supposedly it's been implemented in the outback of Australia or someplace like that. And I just find it, I don't know, I just don't, if I saw a drone flying past the window or something, I'd throw a net over it.
The problem is this. Everybody's getting Amazon. You see the Amazon UPS delivery truck. You see FedEx and post office stopping at everybody's house. You have four different major delivery services that are already delivering to everybody on your block.
Too much.
Right?
Yeah.
So what are you going to have? These drones zipping. How much can a drone carry? One box?
You can carry one package.
Right. So it's going to be zipping by all day long. Can you imagine that? You got to worry about it.
Like I said.
The whole thing is bizarre.
Pellet gun.
Yeah. Let's see what else we got here. Airlines are making changes. United Airlines says it's permanently ending flight change fees for, get this, most domestic tickets. It's the latest effort to boost demand in the air travel industry, which is hit hard by the coronavirus pandemic. And President Trump said, we are going to support the airline industry, whatever that means. But there's got to be some fine print here.
I would hope so.
Yeah. Tesla. I told you about that. Did I tell you that Elon Musk, now richer than Mark Zuckerberg. Third richest person in the world.
Yeah, and talk about a guy who's rich on paper.
Right. But he did get a nice piece recently.
I mean, Zuckerberg has a going concern.
This Tesla thing, you want to look up PE ratio and PEG ratio? It's just ridiculous.
Well, it's not as bad as Zoom.
It's going to be ugly.
Okay, I'll look it up.
And the other thing is that a lot
of... Is it TSLA?
Yeah, TSLA. The other thing that's interesting about Tesla is that when you look at the recent earnings and you dug down into their report, you know, the stock was coming off pretty good after the report before they mentioned the split. The reason was that a lot of the income, a lot of the revenue that they derived was from electric tax credits.
You want to hear the PE?
Sure.
What do you think?
I think it's like 200.
1,222.
A little off.
The PEG, 151.
So not that much worse than...
No, I'm sorry. That's not the PEG. That's the forward PE. There is no PEG, apparently.
Right.
How can there be a PEG? There's no earnings. Yeah. It loses money, doesn't it?
They made money the last couple of rounds. Again, a lot of that was due to the fact that they were selling their environmental tax credits to other firms.
Bookkeeping. Yeah. That's a creative bookkeeping.
Exactly. Yep. You know, there's been a lot of discussion recently about foldable phones again. And I don't understand why this is a thing. And it's never really... Companies haven't really been able to do anything with this, right? It's been a terrible situation. Now, Samsung's coming out with their Galaxy Z Fold 2 phone.
Isn't Microsoft got a foldable that they're bringing out?
I think so, but they're expensive.
Who's going to buy one of these things?
I don't know what the point is. It's a flip phone or something. It just gives you more space. I mean, these phones are big as they are. I mean, I have this big iPhone.
Yeah, you get a Note, it's too big.
Yeah. And in the in closing this section of the evening, we have to talk about probably one of the more annoying things that is happening with the world right now. It is the ever advancing march towards subscription hell, which is everything subscription, right? You know, Adobe was like one of the...
Yeah, it's getting on my nerves.
Everybody's a subscription this. Now, let me tell you, you want to get on your nerves? BMW, their latest innovation to this subscription is a subscription-based upgrades that can be activated at will or deactivated if you don't keep up payments. So, for example, if you want heated seats to optional safety features like adaptive cruise control.
Oh, wait, hold on. You're telling me that they have all these things built in, and then if you have a subscription, they'll upgrade it.
Yeah.
But you already have it.
You have it, but they don't work.
Hello out there. Attention all hackers.
Yes. That's right.
BMW people would like to hear from you.
We have to, what is it called when we do the iPhone? We got to do a...
jailbreak.
Yeah, we got a jailbreak. We got to jailbreak the BMW.
Jailbreak your car.
So this is kind of interesting because when I had something that I wanted to do with my BMW, there was a new feature. It was when the Apple phone recently had car key in it. I think I told you about this. And I said, oh, I'd love to use that for my BMW, right? I got a 2020. And I wrote to BMW. I complained. They wrote back, no, that's only going to be available in the 2021. Yours is not upgradable. Yours is not, we can't do over-the-air upgrades. But this also means that.
Can you bring it in then? Did you ask him, can you bring it in and do it at the shop?
No, they can't do it. They can't do it in this car, only in the next version.
Well, then why would they bring up the over-the-air part?
Well, because they're gonna do it in the 2021s. Not in the 2020s. They don't have it. So the other
thing. You got gypped.
Well, the other thing is, if they're putting in heated seats rather than regular seats, isn't that more expensive? And if they're putting in all these other features that have to be activated or not activated, doesn't that cost them more money?
This is they must have got some executives from the 1950s IBM company. This is what IBM used to pull this crap constantly. They'd have a chain printer, and then they would upgrade it to make it faster every year. They'd be, oh, it's faster now. We're going to come in and upgrade it. They don't do anything but change a knob. You know, there was just a little, they flip a button and now it goes faster and they charge you for that. This is the kind of thing that's going on. This is terrible.
It is terrible. I'll give you that. All right, let's see. Let's go down here. Oh, thank you very much, everybody, for your kind donations over the last few weeks. And we do appreciate that. It's very helpful to the cause. Some people in the chat room were mentioning how we called out and mentioned DocuSign a few months ago with a massive gain. And some people have been telling me that some of our things have been helping them out a lot. Well, that's a little give back mechanism that we have. You can go over to dhunplugged.com and not only see all the things that we're talking about in the show notes and all that, play the podcast, or you can go to iTunes or Stitcher or Spotify and blah, blah, blah. But you can also make a kind donation. It's very helpful for the soul. Very helpful for the soul. We also have the Close to the Pin that is running right now. Macy's. Oh, we have a winner. We have a winner. You know what? I didn't announce this. Next week, we'll announce the winner.
Okay.
I didn't realize we had a winner today. Okay, next. Next. Bill Ackman has a plan. Retirement for all. You know Bill Ackman, the hedge fund manager?
Yep. Big shot.
Yep. Each child born in the U.S. should receive $6,750 in a government-funded basket of index funds that can only be tapped at retirement. He said if you assume an 8% return over 65 years from birth to retirement, the total will ultimately exceed $1 million, and it would cost the government about $26 billion a year if the birth rate holds. I'm trying to figure out if there's some kind of benefit to him. Is he going to pitch being one of the index funds? I don't know.
It's a good idea.
It's an interesting idea. But isn't that what Social Security is?
The problem is people would be trying to tap it out at about the age 30.
But if you have people providing for Social Security, which one of the big reasons that Social Security is such a problem is that it's constantly being robbed.
Yeah, it's being robbed illegally.
Right. So there's a lot of that going on around the government constantly. But nonetheless, and it's been going on for years, and the post office is another one that's being robbed, right? Terrible.
In kind of an offhanded way, yeah. Yes.
So
buy stamps.
Yeah, but here's the thing. If you get $1 million at age 65 and you get a 3% return on that annually, that's $30,000 a year in today's dollars. If you had $1 million today, 3%, $30,000 a year. That's what you pretty much get from Social Security if you have a full work.
Kind of, but that's going down for everybody coming in later. Yes, it's about $30,000 a year.
So what's the difference between the government? And if the government ponies up $26 billion a year, don't they have to raise taxes somehow to do that? Which is what you're doing by paying your Social Security. I don't understand.
Well, you make a good point.
And then what would prevent the government from stealing your money anyway?
There you go. Now you made the better point.
I mean,
that's exactly what would happen. Yeah,
stupid. Plus, then the people that know they're going to have $1 million when, this is like living in certain areas in the Middle East where you have like, what country is that? There's two countries there. What
Kuwait,
is
Kuwait, Dubai, no. UAE, one that, Oman. I mean, it's a bunch of countries.
There's there. A country. It doesn't have a vowel in it. Anyway, begins with a D, I think. Anyway, when you're born there, you're given like land and servants.
Kinda. Smaller. So, these countries are small.
But what I'm saying is, why? What's your impetus to work?
No, I think your whole point is well made. It's going to get robbed. There is no impetus to work. People are going to try to tap it. Everyone's going to try to steal the money. It's the same that you're getting with Social Security. Every point you've made, this is like ludicrous. Now that you mention it.
Yeah. All right. 30 states, real quickly. 30 states have approved the additional $300 per week of unemployment benefits. Florida has not. Only two states out of the 30 so far are kicking in the additional $100 per week. Eligible workers will get the payments automatically eventually. Now, listen, it's been a good number of weeks. It's been, a month now?
They're all going to be back to work by Easter.
Yeah, exactly. But it's been a month since people have been receiving the extra unemployment benefits. I mean, that's got to be a crimp on spending. So, you know, hopefully this goes through. It's only going to be 300, maybe 400 instead of the 600. And I guess they're going to try to push it through for the end of the year. If, in fact, we can get the two sides, which they can't and they won't, talk to each other. You know, a skinny deal on one side looks like a $500 billion deal is being floated, which everybody's complaining about, by the way. And, you know, President Trump said, well, you know, I think we could do $1.2 trillion, which I don't even know, frankly, if he knows what that's going to include, but just threw out that number. And the Democrats want like $3 trillion, which is just absurd. Absurd. Who talks in trillions?
Yeah. It's ludicrous.
Finally, Robinhood complaints. Over the first half of the year, U.S. Consumer Protection Agency received more than 400 complaints about Robinhood, roughly four times more than the competitors like Schwab and Fidelity. The grievances obtained via public records requested from the FTC depict novice investors in over their heads, struggling to understand why they've lost money on stock options or had shares liquidated to pay off margin loans. A little chart there that shows you the total complaints.
Yeah, a lot of complaints. Well, what do you expect?
Yeah, well, I agree. This is a game that we play. It's not a solicitation to buy or sell any security. It's not a recommendation of any kind. Nothing on the show should be considered investment advice or a recommendation. If you choose to invest in any of the stocks mentioned, you should know that it may carry risk, along with the risk of a loss of principal. You should also seek out professional financial advice for your particular situation. We assume no risk as these are not to be considered recommendations. Horowitz Company, myself, or John C. Dvorak may invest in any of the securities mentioned and will disclose that on the website under the weekly stock picks section. You can go to dhunplugged.com and see all the names we discuss in this segment along with the performance information from the date discussed as well as any additional important disclosures.
You take the list while I fill in your Zoom short.
Well, we got your Medtronic still making money and it's still on there. Alphabet, which was my short, has been kicked off.
Yep.
So that's done. IBM short is up a bit,
which is amazing. I'm in a technology-led rally. That's amazing.
Yeah, it is amazing. I amazed myself. IPOC Social Capital, one of your SPACs, is up barely. Trans Technology is the big winner on this list, besides Medtronic, that is. Yeah, that's your pick for the ventilation, something or other. I can't remember your rationale, but it's air conditioning.
Yeah.
34% up. Good pick. Planet Fitness, a short that I picked, is way up, but I got out with a gain, so I don't care. PVC Bancorp up for Shopify. Then we got a couple of losers. GlaxoSmithKline should be going up. It's a insider's thing. Something's going on. It's down 5%. Momo, the Chinese social that you liked, is the same thing, down 5%. Empire State Realty of LP series, some series or others. I saw it was bottoming, is up barely. And then my last pick, which was Xerox, based on pump and dump guys, is down 1.2%. Nothing much is going on. But you're going to come in with Wayfair again.
Yeah, I'm going to come in Wayfair again. I mean, we saw that the last few days, and I didn't hit this. I looked at it. It's kind of like I was a deer in the headlights on this one. I saw a significant move on a company that's similar in a way. It was Overstock.com. It kind of went from like $6 to like $120 in the last 6 months. And I'm thinking, people aren't buying, you know, they're buying furniture, but there's going to be a limitation to all of this. So I'm picking Wayfair for a couple of different reasons. Number one, I've used Wayfair. Their stuff is horrible. It's cheap, crappy, Chinese, comes busted. You send it back two or three times. Anybody that uses Wayfair can vouch, or Instacart for that matter, can vouch for the fact that it's a terrible company.
Come, it's up at $300.
It's just out of control, because the thought was, and it was the case, that everybody was buying furniture cheap to refurnish their houses, especially to make little home offices.
Well, go to IKEA.
Yeah. So I'm going to short Wayfair. They have a.
I'm going to short Zoom.
Yep, I got Zoom on there for you. Zoom. So what is your thesis?
Oh, it's just that it's overbought. Simple.
Overbought. Got it. Anything else?
I was thinking of shorting Tesla, but while they got that 4-for-1, 3 for whatever the hell they're doing, I can't do it.
Yeah, they just did it Monday. Monday it went through. And then they have, I mean, it's going to be a short eventually. I mean, I've traded it, you know, very lightly.
Yeah, it's kind of like Netflix. A lot of these things are just hard to short because they're so dangerous.
My wife decided it's against
dangerous
the Tesla.
Dangerous stock.
Yeah. I mean, they have terrible lease terms, and they're overpriced on the lease deal. I will tell you that much. But people are buying
on a Tesla?
Yeah.
Why? Did you go try to get one?
Yeah, my wife was going to buy the Tesla, the Model 3, and I'm like, I'm driving.
Well, the Model 3 is an ugly little duckling. I don't know why anyone would want one.
Not only is it ugly, it's a shell of a car with a large iPad.
Yeah,
that's all it is. And the air conditioner is along the whole front, by the way, so it's constantly blowing, but I guess you can adjust that. And everything that you do, though, the problem is you don't do it. You don't look forward and see anything. There's no heads-up display. You don't see anything. You got to look to your right to see how fast you're going, what your battery is. You want to, your radio is there. Your navigation's on this panel. If you want to change the air conditioning, like in any other car, what do you do? The air conditioning, you push the button, it gets cooler, right? You push a button on the radio, it gets, I don't know. That seems easy to me.
You're talking to the wrong guy. I've never been a fan of the car. I mean, I know that the Model S.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's a beautiful.
It's a pretty car.
It's beautiful.
And it goes fast and it's nice. But these other ones, that especially the 3, is homely. It's a dorkmobile.
Well, the problem I had was she was going to have to install a battery supercharger thing in the garage. Then I got to have this cable strung across the garage to plug in her car, which I'm going to trip over all the time. The electrician comes and goes, hey, this is the right spot. Right in the middle of all my fishing rods. I'm like, you're not putting a freaking supercharger behind my fishing rods. That's not happening, you know? So you got to pay for that. Plus you got to pay for, like, there's all these other expenses when you buy the car. Plus the lease deal is not a good lease deal. The terms are not good. Same sticker, if you do a 3-year deal on several different cars, it was probably 10% higher. Easily 10% higher on the lease with the same sticker on the car.
Well, there are free charging stations. That's a plus.
Yeah, but you have to go to them and schlep. And then what do? You sit there for 30 minutes? What are you going to do for 30 minutes as you're charging a car?
Yeah, well, it's true, unless you're reading a good book. No, there's impracticalities to it as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
Yeah, but people, they think they're doing the planet a favor, and in some circles it's cool to have one.
Yeah, I did a calculation compared to her current car or the other car she was going to buy, and she would have saved $50 a month in gas. So, all right, that's a savings. That's a savings.
Well, again, yeah, it's something. But you know, it's something. If Tesla would do this, they won't do it because they're a pure electric play. But if Tesla had a really pretty design hybrid, they would sell them by the boatloads.
Yeah, if you had a hybrid almost with a reserve gas tank for just in case, that would go, let's say, 50 miles, 3 gallons, 3-gallon gas tank. Then if you're stuck somewhere, you're not electricity, you don't have to panic. It goes 250 miles, but still, you got to be thinking constantly if you're driving. Okay, well, where's my car? I mean, whatever. All right. Anyway, we're going to end it here. No agenda on Thursday. Make sure to tune into that at 12 o'clock in the afternoon with Adam Curry. John C. Dvorak, breaking down all the news that is breakable, which is all of the news, by the way.
It's all the news.
All the news is breakable. And on Sundays as well. This week on The Disciplined Investor, coming up, we have Paul Barron from the Foodable Network. I'm trying to get Phil Swift on the, you know Phil Swift?
Yeah.
He was a neighbor of mine for many years.
He should come on in the drop of a hat.
Yeah, so I'm trying to, I don't really have any contact, and I sent a few emails around, and I hit him on Twitter. So that would be kind of fun to have him on. Phil Swift from Flex Seal. See his story. So he wasn't doing that when I knew him back then. So kind of be interesting. Anyway, I'll see you again next week.
All right, talk to you then. All right.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pockets, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a mint. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.